in the series called Rejected Like David, I trust that God's been speaking to you, doing some things in your heart. Because anytime you start to talk about this idea of rejection, you start to walk through it. And God begins to bring stuff up in your life so you can begin to deal with it. And when you think that you have an area beat, another area pops up. Because it's something that's threaded in our life, whether you realize it or not, since you were a kid, you've been dealing with this in one way or another. Whether it was on a playground where they didn't pick you, they picked you last, or they said, okay, we'll take her. Those things get ingrained in you. Like you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, and you can't hack it. And there's a real fight over that, because if we can't beat this root and we can't get it out, it'll follow you the rest of your life. And you'll always think you're less than and never experience the fullness that God has for you because you think you're not good enough or you're not loved. The reality of it is that you are loved completely and fully, even when you're disciplined. Because when God disciplines, his motivation is love. So it's a completely motivated by love. And you might be saying, I'm tired of being disciplined. The question is, are you learning the lessons? Because there are lessons that have to be learned. And just as a father disciplined his kids, or maybe you were disciplined growing up, God does the same thing with you. Thank God that he's bothering you. Thank God that he's saying something to you about your dysfunction so that he can get you out of hiding, because it's easy to hide. It's easy to hide. The longer I live, the more I realize how much I've hid. The more I realize how much I've been stuck behind stuff that God never intended me to stay stuck behind, finally wanting me to come out and reveal myself to the world. And the coming out party for a Christian is tough. Because they have to come out from the mask that they show everybody. Because they're a Christian. And they think that they have to mask it in order for them to be real and be vulnerable and be used of God. But in the reality of it is, when you look at the Bible, these people were messed up. They were flawed. They had issues. It didn't give them an excuse to stay that way. But God intervened supernaturally and moved in their life so that they can get from where they were to where God had them to be. So wherever you are in your life, you're in the process, you're in the journey, but it's a coming out party continually. That's what salvation is. You're coming out continually so that you can become more and more like God wants you to become, because there's a birthing process that's taking place in your life on a regular basis. That's what salvation is. You're saved in an instant, but you're being saved. We talk about being born again, but in reality, you're being born again continually. Continually. That's why there are certain times in your life where you feel pressure. Because you know that pressure is building something in you because God wants to birth something out of you. That's why the pressure is there. So don't discount pressure as something, I don't understand what this is. It's there for a purpose. God's trying to bust some stuff up, and the only way that it comes up is through pressure. Pressure. And a lot of times what he's doing is he's squeezing out the stuff that does not need to be there. And you know it's coming out because it's the way your flesh is reacting. And it's your emotional state is changing. And so God's squeezing. When God squeezes, he squeezes so that there can be a removal of the root. A removal of the root. God doesn't just do it halfway. So if you're being squeezed, you're in a good place. Because God wants to finally free you and finally see you walk in power. David is a great story on dealing with rejection. We're already in week 4 of this thing. And as David began to follow God's purpose, he began to realize several things about his life. Number one, we saw in week 1 that he was overlooked, completely overlooked. They didn't even consider him when Samuel came in and said, Lord, what are we doing here? And 7 sons passed, and David had to be called from the sheep field to come in. And when he came in, the Lord said, that's the one, anoint him. We know that he was disregarded in week 2. Why was he disregarded? Because he actually went to the battle where the Philistines and the Israelites were, and his older brother, because his older brother was dealing with the root of rejection, took it out on David. But if David didn't know who he was, he would have missed out on his opportunity that day to slay the giant. So the reality of it is that people can overlook you. You could be disregarded. But do you know who you are, and do you know who God is? Because you will be called to the battle. You will be called into a situation of where you're going to be needed. You're going to be needed. And you can't let your issues of rejection stop you. Stop you. I don't know anyone who has it fully whipped, fully whipped. But they make a choice to get up every day and go back into what God has called them to go back into in His strength and do it anyway. How healthy is your perspective when it comes to that root in your life? Because you know it flares up every once in a while. How healthy is your perspective? I feel it. When I feel it, I'm still going to do it. Because when I do it, the grip that it has on me begins to lessen, and I'm able to go in God's power and not my own. It's the reason why you look at the New Testament and why so many of these disciples, they died because of their faith. They didn't start out giving their life physically to Jesus. It was a heart change, but eventually they got to the point, and it was nevertheless not my will, but your will be done. It was a process. As God dealt with them along the way, as they realized how to do it in God's power and strength and not their own. Are you in that process? Because one day God might call you to do something that is beyond you. Will you be able to do it? I can't face rejection. You're going to be stuck the rest of your life. Stuck. Some of you are dealing with it even right now with your family of origin, and you're having a hard time with it. And it's gotten you stuck. Because people who you thought loved you, you're finding out they don't really love you because you're not agreeing with their lifestyle or their opinions about how they should live their life or whatever view they have, and there's a rift that's taking place, and so you have a family of origin thing that's going on, and God's saying, will you follow me regardless? Regardless. It doesn't matter where you grew up. Everyone has a story. Everyone has one. Let's sit down. We could spend days talking about the story. It doesn't matter where you grew up. God said, I can take where you grew up, turn it around, heal, change your life, and put you on a new path and start something new so you don't have to walk in a curse generationally, but you could do something new. That's why the cross is so important. You don't have to walk according to the former way of life anymore. It's dead. It's dead. When I disagree with that former way of life, I break its power. When I say no to how you view me and I rebut up against that and say, no, I don't see it that way. I see it this way. It breaks the power that you have on me. It breaks the power. The question is, who has the power in your life? Is it you or is it them? You should not be bound by anything. Anything. No, not a little. Anything. The only one who should have you fully is Jesus. Fully. So that's why the process is hard, because every once in a while you see, that part of me is still theirs. That's why the Bible talks about Romans chapter 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, everything. It didn't say present your arm or present what you feel like presenting. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because that's your reasonable act of service. God said, I gave you all of me. I want all of you. And God is relentless when it comes to that. Who has the power in your life right now? Is it your mind? I can't get over. There's something in my mind I keep tripping and bumping up against. And God's saying, we got to deal with that mental state. Because you're too mental. You get up all in your head about stuff, and really, it's just a sign and a symptom that something deeper is going on. And if you traced it back, you could probably see it. It was something that you even saw in your family. Man, they got head issues. And all of a sudden, you see that stuff get on you, even when you go up to make decisions. It's tough sometimes because you got to get over the mental hurdle. It's like God wants to do it, but you're like, you're in the head about it. You can't live the Christian walk in the head. You can't live it up here. You got to live it by the Spirit of God. So you got to take that back. Who is it that has the power? And you might know some people that when you're in contact with them or when you just hear their voice, immediately you get triggered. But if you know that Jesus has set you free and you're free indeed, there's no reason why you have to go back into a yoke of slavery into that situation. Why is this important? Because we don't like to admit it, but a lot of times we're carrying around a bunch of people with us. You got a bunch of people. You're carrying around that side of the family. They got issues. This side of the family you don't even like to talk about. And so you're counting on everybody. And so you can see little bits and pieces of it. That's why it's important what you identify with and what you speak over people's life. I have a problem with when I hear people, oh, they're just like their daddy. What you're doing, you're speaking bondage over their life when you talk about something negative. I'm not talking about they don't look like their dad. That's all part of the process. You got to be careful of how you identify people, because people, they'll catch that stuff, and all of a sudden, they will walk right up into the footsteps of their parents and do the same thing their parents did, die early because of A, B, C, and D. How many stories have I heard? Yeah, father died at 50. Guess what? So did the son. Just walk right up. Had no idea that he could have changed that, but just walk right in the footsteps. Here's some of the things you probably do right now because you saw your family do. And God said, at the moment, you might have thought it was right, but there are certain things I got to break you free from. Like, that attitude is not right. That passivity is not me. And God is faithful to get you to see it. And you don't have to like it, but he wants you to see it, because he wants you to deal with it. I didn't die so that you could hold on to a little bit of the past. I died so that you can become a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things have become new. But I got to walk it out. Just because at 45 something happened to your mom doesn't mean at 45 it has to happen to you. That's the devil's a liar. So I don't walk around like that. Even the enemy tries to come in and pick at it a little bit. Say, no, that ain't happening to me, man. So you got to butt up against that stuff, because if you're not careful, you'll walk around assuming, well, it's just going to be like that for me. And that's a lie. God's trying to break that cycle. Break the cycle. Let's look in the book of 1 Samuel. David's dealing with some issues. He's starting to have to confront some stuff about his life, because, you know, at this point, Saul has pretty much come against David, and David starts to have to escape and run for his life. So let's pick it up. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. Later, David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, please allow my father and mother to live here with you until I know what God is going to do for me. So David's parents stayed in Moab with the king during the entire time David was living in his stronghold. And one day the prophet God told David, leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah. So David went to the forest of Hereth. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul, and at the time the king was sitting beneath the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, holding his spear and surrounded by his officers. In verse 7, listen here, you men of Benjamin, Saul shouted to his officers when he heard the news, has that son of Jesse promised every one of you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you all generals and captains in his army? Is that why you have conspired against me? For not one of you told me when my own son made a solemn pact with the son of Jesse. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it, my own son encouraging him to kill me as he is trying to do this very day. Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. When I was at Nob, he said, I saw the son of Jesse talking to the priest Abimelech, son of Ahitub. And Ahimelech consulted the Lord for him, then he gave him food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Saul's feeling sorry for himself because of David's popularity. In the chapter before, David ends up going to the Philistines to hide. David started to fake like he was insane and scratch on the doors and drool with coming down his beard in order to say, listen, I'm going to pretend like I'm insane because I have to cover up the rejection I'm feeling from you. So I'm going to start to be insane. And the king said, get him out of here. I have enough crazy guys here. I don't need another one. Now, we're talking about David, Sheepfield David, slayed the giant David, went to the house of Saul, played the harp for Saul, now on the run from Saul in the cave because of him actually running away from the Philistines who he previously defeated. I want you to think about what he did. He went backwards. Why? Feeling abandoned. He's on the run. He says in that verse, until I find out what God's going to do with me, I don't even know. Comfort and convenience have left him. He's now trying to find out what his next steps are, and he goes to hide into a cave, which most people do when they run. They hide into something expecting that no one will find me and I'll lick my wounds there until I feel better about myself. But God did not give him a reprieve. God said, this is not about you. This is about my purpose, and I'm going to start sending people in, and you're going to become captain over them. And as you train them, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to teach you how to be king in a cave. I'm going to teach you some stuff. And that's what God's saying today. You're trying to hide, and you're trying to get away from your responsibility. And God said, I'm not letting you. I'm not letting you. Have you ever been there before? Don't call me. Lord, I don't want anybody to call me today. I don't want to talk about you. I don't want to talk about, don't let anybody call me. All of a sudden you get a text. Hey, been praying for you. Of course. Haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? Dot, dot, dot. Oh, you know, just some stuff. Emoji, the smile emoji. Getting you out of the cave, your own cave. Because what we do, and let's be honest, you feel sorry for yourself. And when you feel sorry for yourself, it doesn't go well because you start to contemplate the former way of life and how it was. Consider it this way. Consider the Israelites when they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness. Consider what they said. You know, at least we had some food. I know we were beaten. I know we were slaves, but at least they took care of us. Former way thinking where God's trying to break you free from that. And the only way that he starts to break you free from that is allowing you a little wilderness time. A little wilderness time. But not so you get stuck in there and start feeling sorry for yourself, but so that stuff in your life that's not of God, that's not going to be profitable for you when you go into the promised land, has to die. And I know I'm talking to some of you because some of you are trying to hide and you're scooting up in your seat and be like, nah, it's not me. But God's like, no, I'm not letting you hide. Number one, you can't hide here in this church. One. So two, you can't hide. You can't. People will just see it right through you, right? Because what happens is that as God begins to bring healing to people and they come out, they see their former self in you. That's why it's dangerous when you get around a free person. They're like, oh, no. You coming with me? Because they see the detriment of you staying there. Free people. That's why God was trying to get to David. Hey, man, I got to free you from them and stuff. I know you're dealing with some abandonment, but how good is God that God didn't let him stay there by himself? He didn't have time to feel sorry for himself. He had a job to do. And these men became David's mighty men who would eventually go to war with him. But it was in this time of training that was essential for him. I want you to think about the times in your life where you felt like, number one, I was abandoned, and two, that there was no way I was getting out of this, and three, how God showed up and said, I still got you, through a text, through a phone call, through a revelation, through a dream. You've never been alone. God has ways to get a hold of you. Ways, plural ways. So what do you do in a season or where you feel that way? You have to have enough emotional bandwidth to recognize where you're at. We don't live in caves physically. We don't have the time. We don't have the place. We don't have the infrastructure here. We can't go hide on a mountain here in Florida. That doesn't work. You can find a bridge. But people hide in their work. They hide in their emotions. They just hide. They hide behind false self. But it's easier to hide there. And little by little, God begins to heal, flush you out, and say, no, we got to deal with the root. We got to deal with the root. You don't like it, but we got to deal with the root. It's uncomfortable, but we got to deal with the root. We got to deal with the root. Got to deal with the root. Deal with the root. Why? God said, I'm done dealing with symptoms. You know, I still deal with issues of COVID today. From 2 years ago. Every once in a while it'll pop up. It doesn't obviously doesn't have the effect it has on me anymore because natural immunity, I beat death, all that stuff. But it doesn't have that effect anymore, but I can recognize I feel that, and then it quickly dissipates because I'll do something physical and then it's gone. That's why movement is important. If you don't move, there's no opportunity for what has you to go. So that applies to your physical life too. If you don't move, you can't shed weight. It doesn't magically come off. And we've talked about this several times. You got to move and do something. If you don't change a diet, nothing happens. Nothing. If you don't move, if your emotions are not moved and there's no room for your emotions to breathe, there's no growth, and then all of a sudden the emotion has you. So you're not walking according to the Spirit of God anymore. Now you're walking according to your emotions. And so you're led by your ability to cry. You cry, and like, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. No, man, it ain't the Lord. He might be doing something new, but you're not moving on that emotion. You got to be careful. If you're not careful, for some of y'all, you can fall back in love with your emotional state. And you can go right back into bondage and become a slave to your emotions rather than a slave to the Spirit of God. There's a difference. There's a difference. When God frees you and he gives you release in that emotional arena, it's for your freedom's purpose. It is not for you to go backwards and fall in love with your emotional dysfunction. That is not how God does it. The world does it that way. That's why you ought to be careful. You cannot watch The Notebook 5 times in a row. And you can't do it 5 times in a row and be like, man, I feel great. I feel like I'm in a good, my spirit is engaged. Your spirit is not engaged. Your emotions are engaged in them. You got to be careful. That's why some stuff I don't even watch. I watched that when we first got married. Never again. Never again. I don't need it. Because once you realize who has the power, you don't subject yourself and give something else power over you that has no business having power over you. Why would I subject myself to something that is going to enslave me when I can walk in freedom and give the Lord access and power in my life so I can rise above it? I'd rather be rising above, struggling, but rising above it than succumbing to it and having to go through this whole process. That's not God's heart. That's not God's will. That's why when we talk to you about emotional health, you have to keep it in balance. God wants you to revisit it so that he can heal it, not stay there. So when God throws something back in your life and says, forgive him, it's for a process to move you forward, not to go back and relive it and stay there. It's not profitable for you to stay back there. So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. There are certain things God will do just real quick to release you so you can forgive. Forgive. Process the emotion and move. But not get back into it. So you can't go back to your dysfunction. It's not helpful for you. God's not trying to get you to go back to your dysfunction and settle there. Why would he do that? If it killed you there, almost, why would he send you back and say, let's relive this all over again? Why would he want you to do that? It doesn't mean that you don't process certain things, but you process it in a healthy way. And when you do it with God, God helps you do it in a healthy way so you can move on. There are certain things that you should not be subjecting yourself to anymore. There are certain things in your life you have to stop crying over. Stop. I'm just being honest with you. There's not seasons of crying. There's just not. There's trials and difficulties we go through that God breaks stuff up, okay? And you might say, well, Ecclesiastes. Okay. So rebut that. Ecclesiastes talks about there's a season for mourning. Yeah, but some of y'all seasons turn into like months. Months. Years. Still grieving over stuff. Just years grieving over stuff. Grieving over until finally God said, that's enough. If he gave the Israelites 30 days to grieve Moses, what makes you think he's going to give you 40 years to grieve the lollipop that got stolen from you at 10? He's not giving you 40 years. Or let's take it further, and we're going a little further, okay? Abuse. Y'all know I talked about this before. Young age, I was abused. But I don't walk around like, process it, move on. But we get stuck back in something that I had no control over. Because of ignorance. But you can't let ignorance stop you and say, well, it's their fault because, yeah, okay, I was young. Why would I go back there? Why would God want me to stay stuck there? I'd miss out on all that God has for me in my life if I stay stuck. Not just over that instance, but there are many instances I could recount in my life to say, well, I could have got stuck there, but I didn't. And God was faithful, got me out of there, and God was free. And God always was faithful, never abandoned, always faithful, but had a choice. Had a choice. You got to get up. Why would you not want to rise and walk in victory? Why would you not want to overcome stuff and know, man, he really has set me free? Why would you not want to walk in power? Why would you want to stay stuck in that abusive mindset or state where God's called you to be a victor and not a failure and rise above it? So what? It happened to you. So what? Things happen. It happens. Listen, there's nothing in life that God doesn't know about. There's nothing in life that God doesn't use. There's nothing new under the sun. Things happen in seasons and generations that you don't have any control over, but God works it all together for your good. If you could just see it, just see that you're better because of it, that as God began to deal with you, now you're walking in freedom. You can see clearly. You didn't like it, but you can see clearly. Because why? There are people who need to know that there's a God who does not abandon, but delivers. That's who God is. That's why the cross is there. Why stay stuck? I like being held in bondage. That's what we essentially say. Because we blame that or we blame God. Don't you know by now you can't figure him out? And even the times when I have been tempted, and there have been times where I've gone there, and question stuff because it's natural to do that. God has never let me stay in a state too long because of the danger of trying to figure it all out. You cannot figure your life out. You're trying to figure it out. How does it, you cannot. That's why the Bible talks about trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your understanding. If you were to really get deep with God and you would really take the scripture seriously, it says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. You would really begin to trust God with more of your life and not try to figure it out so much because, well, that means that God, and you got to be, that means that God allowed it in my life. Yeah, he did. Can you see God even in the hard times when it did not make sense and still trust God that he's still loving and still has a plan and purpose for you, even though it was hard and it was difficult? God allowed it. He allowed it. He's big enough to handle it. Are you? And God brings you through so you actually can get big enough to handle it and look back in retrospect and be like, it almost took me out, but I handled it. because God was with me. Why would God give you something that you couldn't handle? You can handle it because he's with you. And when people walk around, they're angry about, I'm just angry. What are you angry about? I don't know, my life sucks. Sucks. Well, what are you doing? All right, this sucks. And that's all it is. It's just a suck fest. It just sucks. Well, listen, well, who do you trust in? I mean, what are you looking at? Well, you know, I got all these problems. I get it, but like, where's your hope? And you can't even, and you get a Christian, and Christians walk around like that. So I have a hope that doesn't disappoint, but you're clearly disappointed. Clearly, no hope. I'm not talking about reality. We all have stuff going on, but there's got to be a difference in the way you grieve. Has to be a difference in the type of hope you have. Has to. Because if there wasn't, what type of separation do we have? Light and dark might as well just come together. The Lord and Satan might as well just go out to lunch. Right? They might as well just do it. Those that aren't saved and those that are saved might as well just throw all caution to the wind and say, hey, I like what you got. You like what I got. Let's just trade. Might as well just all just kind of do life together. But what fellowship does light have with dark, the Bible says? What fellowship does Satan have with Christ? Nothing. What fellowship does an unbeliever, and talks about being unequally yoked with a believer, have? He said, there is none. There's none. There has to be, we got to live a different way. We have to. Even when you feel abandoned, you turn in the right direction. I don't turn back to my high school sweetheart or my high school girlfriend on Facebook. I wonder if she's still interested. I don't turn back. Why would I want to turn back? It wasn't that great. Probing questions. How has God shown you that he has always been with you? In your own mind, how has he shown you? Number two, what resulted in that revelation? What did it cause you to do and how you see your life? It should have changed your life. So that you could see, if God is for me, who can be against me? David even wrote in the book of Psalms, if my father and my mother reject me, you won't reject me. Oh, man. Until you've been rejected, you can't appreciate God. Until you've been misunderstood, you really can't appreciate God. Until you've had stuff taken away from you, you really can't appreciate the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. Until you've had someone look at you and tell you that they didn't like you or they didn't appreciate you, you don't really appreciate God. That's par for the course. You just got to get used to that stuff. Fitting in is overrated. It's overrated. And if you're called to do something for God, fitting in is out of the question. Just stop. Stop trying to fit in. We are strangers. We are aliens. We are not part of this world. The Bible talks about. But we live like we are. It's easier to fit in than not fit in. Think about that for a minute. It's easier just to go along with it than not. But you got to be strong enough to know who you are, and your faith got to be solid enough to say, though no one goes with me, still I'm going to go. David's response, what's going to be given to this guy or to the person who defeats this Philistine? No one else was going. A young boy decided, I'm going to go. I'm going. Takes out the giant. Eventually gets a wife, no taxes, etc. Young age. I want you to think about something. What should you be beating right now in your life that you're not beating? What are you not beating? If a young boy can beat a giant and deliver a whole nation, what are you not winning at? Don't you have these little moments with yourself and be like, man, I've been in this too long. Too long for me not to be seeing progress here. Why am I not beaten that. Why every time, and I'm just using this as an example, why every time I get up on the stage, I feel like I'm going to throw up and I can't worship or I can't speak? I should be way past this. I speak to bigger crowds on my job. Have you ever gotten some real perspective? But the enemy comes in and plays with you because he always goes back to the not good enough card. Just not good enough. And we can't do what God's called us to do. If David would have looked at his age, he would have never went. If he would have looked at his ability, he never would have went. He knew what he could do, but he went in God's strength because what he said was, the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will be the same God who's going to deliver me today. Do you have that attitude? What is the revelation of God doing for you? Is it causing you to be depressed? Or is it helping you rise and elevate above your circumstances? Because that's what it should be. What I see right now in the church at home, there's like this haze. It's haze. It just, remember the Wizard of Oz when they're running through the field to the Emerald City? And the witch, that little haze she put there, and they started to fall asleep. The city was right there. But right in that field, they all started to fall asleep. It's like this haze. People just falling asleep spiritually. Can't really, you know, talk to them about Jesus because now it's too offensive. You know, they don't really want truth. It's now more like an inclusive gospel. It's like, nah, you really don't want to say that. It's more, you know, it's more like love and just grace. And there's real no truth there. It just becomes real watered down. Just a haze. And you can sense it when you talk to people. There's no power there. They've given in. Just hazed. And you know how it is. You know what haze is because now you can pull up to the light and the car next to you, they're hotboxing. You know what haze is. You know what haze is. Now, you know what haze is. Yesterday, I almost rolled down my window and said, hey, bro, listen, your little hotbox party is coming into my car with my kids. So I'm just going to let you know. If you can appreciate just toning it down, that would be great. It's more prevalent now. People just doing it boldly, just coming out, just hazed. Say, why? Everyone wants to get lit because they can't deal with their problems. So let's get high. Let's get really high so that we don't have to deal with it. And really what you're doing is you're enslaved. You can't deal with life. So all I have to do is challenge you on something and you're going to go back to the blunt. We got Christians, blunt blades when it comes to the word. They're trying to fight. They can't fight the devil. Too much compromise. Hazed. What's going on with the churches? Ask the Lord about that. It's the people. God's made provision for people to be successful in a living community. But you have to understand something about the day and age right now. There are things happening in different parts of the country and people get excited. Get excited, that's good. But hold up. God wants to do that in communities. Because with the Spirit, you don't need that to have revival. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yep. The world looks at it as, oh my God, we gotta go. We gotta go. Spirit of God's there. Well, isn't he where you're at too? No, he's there. We gotta go. And you get there, and that night, Spirit of God does nothing. I traveled 1,000 miles. To see the Spirit of God do something. And he did nothing. And I'm disappointed. You know why? Because you could have had something happen at your house, in your shower, with a worship song on, and came to church just singing to the Lord. But you bought into the lie that I got to be a groupie, and I got to go where Jesus is moving. I got to go. Why? Stay put. Don't chase that type of atmosphere, because then all of a sudden it becomes a monument that we sit right there. He moved here. And it's like the Virgin Mary on 19. For how many years? There was one stain. One stain. It's not Mary. One stain. But it shows the spiritual climate and hunger of people. They're looking for something. And the Lord's like, I'm here. I'm here. And it starts with you. You got to know truth, and that sets you free so that when you go out, you can help people see, hey, man, just so you know, That's a watermark stain. Hey, just so you know, you're actually killing yourself doing that. And I know you think you got it all together, but you're killing yourself. You don't have to live like that, man. Just so you know, you can experience God on Sunday morning. You may not even like your church. Experience God before you go so he can help you get through it. But whatever it is. You don't have to have, you don't, stop chasing experiences and chase Jesus. This whole idol of the experience of God, I think God's like, shh. Turn it down. Because you can experience God. Because when you walk into a room, things should change. You are the light that dispels darkness. When you walk into a room, darkness has to go. That's why you pose a threat and a problem to the enemy. That's why he does not like your freedom. He does not like you sitting under teaching that's helping you be free. He does not like you butting up against stuff that is false, because he knows once you get stuff and you get free, the game's over for him and he can't rob you anymore. So that's why you need to do everything you can to fight against those lies, fight against those issues of abandonment, like, you never loved me. God's always loved you. Always loved me. And get out of the haze. Blow through it. Man, come on up. You are loved. You are accepted. You are loved. You are accepted. And what COVID has done is that it has blanketed people to the point of where they can't see. You don't think it's still true? I don't even like talking about it. It is still true with the people psychologically still look at themselves. You have an obligation to walk free. I'm telling you, you have an obligation. Do not fall short. Do not miss the mark on this. Don't fall back. Don't fall prey to a little bit of bondage. It's just good for me. You don't have the luxury for that. Your freedom is contagious. And there are people who need what you have. And so you need to butt up against the enemy and say, no, not today, not today. I am free. I am free today. There isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And recount the stuff that God has done and what he's done in your life. And get your head back right. Get it back right. And what? So what? They left. What are you really looking for? You should be looking for Jesus. And if Jesus is not found in your friend circles, guess what? They're gone. Let's all stand to our feet if we could. You have the power to win in your life. You have it. You have it. You don't allow the enemy to tell you that you're not going to amount to anything, that you can't do what God has called you to do because of A, B, and C. You've come too far to succumb to that lie. You tell him that, now I'm able. He can do immeasurably more in me because I'm submitted to him. You tell him that, you tell the enemy that, and you know who you are. And God's going to be faithful to you as you continue to step out, because you haven't let any disability stop you, but you're fighting still. And that's what God's looking for, because your faith is active, active. Abandonment, the idea of it is a tool that the enemy uses to drive a wedge between you and God and the opportunities that God has given you in life. If you're a son or daughter of the King of Kings, which most are in here, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. David said, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. It doesn't mean the valley's not going to be there. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to walk through it. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. It doesn't mean it's not going to be confusing at times. But he said, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because your rod, your staff, they comfort me. When you can see that God's been good, you can continue to move. Even in the times we didn't know what was coming next, God was still good. Even in the times where you didn't know how it was going to work out, God still gave you the grace and said, keep walking. When the door opened at the last minute, God said, I'm good. I How many in here, real quick, show of hands? Enemy's been speaking to you about some stuff in your life, just lying to you about certain things. Yeah. Yep. Keep them up. Lord, as an attitude of surrender, we know that you came so that we could be free. You've called us to be free. Not use our freedom to indulge in worldly pursuits, but to be about your business. And that if you set us free, we're free indeed. Everyone's in that process right now of being lied to. Lord, we come against every lie today in Jesus' name. Every lie. I thank you, God, for that helmet of salvation that sits on our head to know that we are loved and accepted, not because of anything that we have done, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done, and that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that we are loved and accepted by you today. That breastplate you've given us, we are righteous because of what you've done. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus today. That belt of truth, Lord, we know that that's held up and that holds up every other piece of the armor. Thank you, God, for people walking in truth today. That shield of faith you've given us, God, I pray that that thing would expand, it would strengthen, that our faith would be able to extinguish those fiery darts of the enemy when they come in. Thank you, God, for sharpening that sword in our life, the sword of the Spirit. And as the enemy comes in, we're gonna be able to throw just arrows at him, God. Just be able to come against him with the word and the sharpness of the word, because we know that it's sharp and it's active. Lord, the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thank you, God, that as we go into our schools, the highways, the byways, our spheres of influence, that you said how beautiful are those who carry the gospel. And I pray, God, that you would just carry people into places, Lord, that they didn't even think they could go, but they would go in peace. They would go in strength. God, they would go in authority and power because they know who is with them. And we know that you said, if you're for us, who can be against us in our life? In Jesus' name, amen.